Hello and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutin.
You're watching Consider This, the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. In the recently released Corruption Perceptions Index 2020 by Transparency International, Malaysia's ranking in the index fell to 57th position out of 180 countries. Now, this compared to 51st place in 2019. So over the next 30 minutes on the show, we're going to be looking at what accounts for this drop and how this reversal in the fight against corruption can be arrested. Joining us first on the show, we have Dr. Mohamed Mohan. He's the president of Transparency International Malaysia. Mohan, good evening. Thank you so much for joining us on the show. So the latest CPI report cited that the COVID-19 pandemic is not just a health and economic crisis, but also a corruption crisis too. Maybe you can begin our conversation by elaborating a little bit on that. Mohan, are you there?
Every year. And the reason for the drop in the score as well as the ranking is because the reform agenda that was started in after the G14 has actually sort of stalled. In particularly, the institutional reforms that was being carried out in the year of 2018 and 2019, it was stalled. And one example I can give you is the political financing bill. That was supposed to be tabled in March 2020, and that did not happen. And subsequently, other reforms that was all been planned had did not materialize. Of course, we understand that when the Perikatan National Government came into power, the focus was on the COVID-19 pandemic, and that was the focus of the government. But that doesn't mean that reforms cannot take place. So this is one of the reasons. On top of that, there were many other issues, especially the asset declaration. There was supposed to be a law to be drafted and tabled. That also has not happened. And so a lot of reforms had not happened. And also we had a series of corruption-related cases. And those were the issues that actually had a big role to play. So these all had played into the whole issue and so on. But on the positive side, when the PM government came into power, they did not say that they're going to dismantle the some of the plans put by the previous government, the Pakatan Harapan government. For example, the National Anti-Corruption Plan. They endorsed the plan and they agreed that they will continue with the initiatives inside the plan. So there is something positive.
Mohan, if I can interrupt, Mohan, I do yes. want to ask you though, since you brought up the question of institutional reform, one of the major things that we saw with the new government was the rollback on a commitment to make sure that GLCs and GLICs were run professionally. We had, the expunging of many of the nominees that came under the Pakatan Harapan government, and many political nominees took over those positions. And of course, analysts have noted for a long time that GLCs are a major source of corruption, in the country, in the sense that they are used by political figures to advance their interests. What do you make of this particular reversal?
Yes. Even during the Pakatan Harapan government, some agencies were also political appointees. But of course, you're right. When the current government came, it was massive. The number of appointees in the GLCs were, many of them were appointed. So this is also another factor that actually influences. And to the other main issue is some of them seem to be not qualified. They don't have the experience to lead GLCs or GLICs, and it's best to be left to technocrats to handle this. So you're right in that sense that what the government had done was to appoint a lot of these political appointees, which is something that we have taken a stand And then we say that politicians should not be heading the GLCs or GLICs. Instead, they should get into the parliamentary select committees to actually be a check and balance for the performance of these GLCs and GLICs.
Right. Mohan, you know, it's been a couple of days now since Transparency International released the Corruption Perceptions Index. And I'm wondering whether, you know, there's been responses, a mixed bag of responses. There have been people who have been outraged, and there have been other people who have been trying to justify or rationalize this decline in the rankings, this slide in the rankings. I'm wondering, maybe you can help put it into context for us. Give us an analysis of Malaysia's CPI scores from the past few years. Where are we now? I mean, I understand that last year we were perhaps at the highest ranking that we've been, or we scored the highest points that we've been. How bad is this slide in the context of the past, say, 10 years?
Okay, the early years, our assessment is actually, we will actually take it from 2012. The reason for that is anything before that, the methodology had actually changed for the CPI. So we'll take it from 2012. And the score actually from as low as 47, it actually went up to as high as 52. And then after the 1MDB issue surfaced in 2014, it was all the way down and back to the 47 and 48 score. And after G14, 28 sort of, in 2019, we saw a big jump in our in the score to move our rank to 51. So the reason for that jump was because when the change of government happened, they came with a very strong manifesto, and the agenda was to reform and fight corruption, and that's how that National Anti-Corruption Plan was actually established. So those were the factors that actually pushed up our score dramatically. However, when the PM government came into power, now we see that we have lost 2 points or 2 marks, and our rank has dropped by 6. Now, of course, the
Can I interject? I do want to ask you, though, some of the major red flags that we've had, especially in terms of the commitment to, you know, to bring or make accountable people who are committing corrupt practices. I'm thinking about the discharging of some high-profile cases. Musa Aman, that particular case, and how it led to the attempted, regime change in Sabah and so on and so forth. What do you make of that particular event and the role of the Attorney General's chambers in dealing with corruption?
Well, the back to those cases, like in the case of the former chief minister had 40 over charges that was given a DNAA, and then we had Riza Aziz also was given a DNAA, and another one person, you know. So those kind of things actually do influence. But let me just be clear. The Corruption Perception Index is not only about measuring corruption. It is also looking into human rights. It also looks into reforms. It also looks into justice. And the worrying today situation for us is today, it also looks at parliamentary democracy. So with our situation today, we have with the emergency and with the parliamentary democracy being suspended, we are very concerned because these surveys are done, secondary surveys from secondary sources, and some of these sources are actually looking into democracy. So our concern is for 2021, how will the score be? If we are going to continue not to have a check and balance, then that is going to negatively influence the score.
Right, definitely. Good point to bring up. Thank you so much for joining us on the show tonight, Mohan. We really do appreciate your time. We're going to take a quick break here on Consider This. We'll be back with more on this topic, so don't go anywhere. Stay tuned.